this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hello everybody. Nice to see you all here. He took my intro. I wanted to talk about myself, and now he did it all. So I'm going to do it anyway, because then I'm not going to be so nervous. My name is Janeta Posov. I've got three girls, and they were very ill last week. Yo, that was hard, but I am here. I am awake. I am standing upright, and that's all good stuff. I want to tell you a little bit about myself, if you don't know who I am. I am not a pastor, okay, so I don't stand here. I'm not going to deliver a sermon tonight. In my previous life, I used to be an occupational therapist. Now I do counseling and I am a mother, so I'm not in that field at the moment, but just so that you know who I am. And when I talk tonight, I'm going to talk from the heart. When I was driving here, I was reminded of a conference that I went to when I was in the UK. There was a lady who spoke there, and her message was an older woman to a younger woman. I wasn't married, but it stuck. So I thought tonight, I'm going to communicate from that heart. As somebody who's on the other side of 34, going on closer to the, and just having walked a little bit of a road, lessons that I've learned and things that I just really wish I could tell people and say, if you can remember this in how your expectations are growing, then it's a good thing. Okay, so without further ado, I want to start with two movies. The first one, I don't know how many of you would have watched it, but let's watch it first before I talk about it. Okay, for those of you who don't know the movie, have you seen Brave? Okay, I'm just going to, for those of you who haven't, her mother wants her to get married. So there's these suitors that came, and they have to partake in these games. And the one who wins the right to marry her. She does not want to get married. Okay, that's what happened. So the guys just shot arrows, and the one got the thing in the place where it's supposed to go. And she stands up. Okay. Okay, the independent woman. Just two, I feel, what I felt was two opposite sides of what we get from stories, that what we watch. And here I want to throw a question to you guys. If you think about what society tells us in terms of our expectations for relationships, now don't get biblical now. I want to get practical. Think about what's the stuff that come to mind? Think about these movies, about songs, because music has a very big influence on our expectation for relationships. We hear the way these very romantic guys can sing and word things, and that jumps in our hearts as, I want a guy like that, or I want a relationship like that. So I want you guys to turn around and just discuss. Girls with girls is fine. Guys with guys is fine. You don't have to mingle. But just discuss in terms of, as a girl or as a guy, what stuff is from the world? What is actually influencing the way we see things? You can put the next slide on, please. I've got some stuff up there. Next one. Just have little things up there that I found on the internet. The first one, I think, is this ideal of, oh, it's just going to be fun. We're going to walk on the beach and we're going to talk and it's just going to be pretty. And that's an expectation we set in our hearts, okay? Next one is Titanic, very dramatic, very passionate. The other one I've got up there, just had to put it all about the base. And then Days of Our Lives. Days of Our Lives is a soap opera and lots of other soap operas that girls and guys watch. It influences our expectations. Okay. Next one is those books on the left, my left. Those books that lots of people read that's got these romance in them. Those romantic novels. Scary stuff. That's something. I've got 50 Shades of Grey up there because it's been a very controversial topic. Yet people went to watch it. It influences your expectations. The next one is one of my favorite, Frozen, which I think has a very realistic expectation of in terms of a fairy tale of a guy and a girl. Then the next one is the movie Up. Have you seen that one? Up is a lovely movie where they met when they were young, and then the lady passed away, and how her husband is remembering her. So it's a beautiful story about a lifelong commitment. And then the last one is just The Notebook, one that's also very famous in terms of, I don't know, getting those romantic ideals going. So turn to each other and talk a bit. Okay. Okay, some feedback time. I want to hear what you guys said. Who wants to go first? Anybody? Yeah?
What?
Well, okay, please do talk to me. Okay, thank you, Birgit. Okay, she says that romantic songs and guys that can sing definitely shapes her expectation. Yep. Did everybody hear that, or should I repeat? She says in the movies when the guys show up with gifts and chocolates and roses, and the expectation is that all guys should do that. Okay, what else? Guys, I want to hear from you. Yeah? The notebook moment. Okay. He says there's a moment where something will click and then life is perfect thereafter. Okay. There's a lot of powerful words in those statements. Now, tonight, I want to disempower some of those words. Okay, that's where we're going. Give me more. Yeah? Give me a word. What is that? No, yeah.
What don't you
want to do? I'm looking at you.
Just defending the music and the music that we want. Some of the things that are on there are really romantic, and they're based on sincere elements of love.
Yeah.
The problem comes in when people solely focus on that,
yeah,
and that's all they base their relationships on. And then the actual relationship, the inner part of it, the soul of it, doesn't get discovered.
That's true, because that's what they do in movies. Nee? They tend to just highlight, I'm going to try and find your words again. They tend to just highlight the romance and the beauty of the thing and not the heart of the relationship, even though the movie is based on something that was real and true. Nee? Or the storyline has got truth in it. But the stuff that we tend to see, especially in Hollywood movies, I think is really made movie-like. We have to like it. Okay, anything else? At the back, there were hands.
You.
Yeah, you, sir. Absolutely. That guy from Prison Break. True. Definitely series, ads. We're living in an era where everything is ads. Facebook, it's just stuff coming at you. Images, people's, and Instagram. They put these nice pictures up and they create images in your mind. Yeah? Yes. I'm going to get to that. Thank you. Yep, thank you for saying that. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, is that expectations that definitely gets raised. Anything else somebody wants to say? Yeah. 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 It's like he said, after the wow moment, everything's perfect, nay? And they don't show the reality of the problems afterwards. And people tend to go into a relationship with an expectation that there won't be problems, that it will just be on the beach all day, holding hands, drinking cocktails. Yeah, that sex will heal everything. That's what they say. Okay, which is not the truth. Okay, so they definitely put an expectation on sex. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
see on the character relationship, but also when you're solving your problems in the relationship, the way they're presented in the media.
Okay. Yeah. You mean like reading stuff and just taking advice from anywhere to solve your problems? Okay. Yeah, I think people tend to do that, especially if you're in a place where you're really fighting for a relationship, then people grab to things to try and fix this relationship, but we'll get to those things. Yeah? Okay, definitely. People's opinions? Yep, romantic, nay, life stops. Because when we meet, then everything stops. His work is going to stop. And my emotions are going to stop. Ha ha ha. Okay, anything else? Yeah. They make a perfect person. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's get into that. Beautiful, clever. What else? What does this perfect person look like? Julle moet een praat, ek kan nie hoor nie. Music videos. Yeah, roles get mixed around. Yeah. And definitely the way that, especially music videos, I think portray women. Women are not so susceptible to the look thing, but guys are. And the way that women are portrayed in movies and the way they are portrayed in, let's talk about it, in love scenes in a movie, it creates an expectation on that guy about how it's going to be when they get married or how it should be, which is rubbish. Okay. And same with music videos. There's lots of stuff that's portrayed, images. Images are powerful. If that's one thing you remember from today, I want to shout this. Images are powerful, and you have to guard what you let in. It's your choice. Sometimes we have to stand up and walk out of a movie. Sometimes we have to say, I don't watch this, because this stuff gets into our dreams. I started with Sound of Music. I actually wanted to put Cinderella on. And I wanted to put Sleeping Beauty on because those two movies, I really laugh when I watch it, especially Cinderella. Because here's this girl. She pitches up at the ball. How many of you have watched it recently? Okay. I'm going to act it out. She pitches up the ball. Everybody's over there. Now this girl's walking in. And then the prince sees her, walks towards her. She's like, oh. And then he dances, and they dance, and they dance, and they dance, and I don't know, they dance late. They go on for the whole night. And then at the end of the night, she doesn't know his name, but she loves him. And she didn't know he was the prince either, but she loves him. There's just so much. I'm thinking to myself, Cinderella had to be very blonde. Because how could you miss that? Anyway, these movies portray a gullible, beautiful, happy, feminine, whatever. There's this image that's being portrayed by the movie and by the media. And what I want to start with tonight is for us to be sober in judging the way we assess our expectations. Because these things mess up a relationship before the relationship even starts. They mess up your marriage one day before the marriage even starts because you're walking into something with expectations for this other person to be something. And we know this, but I want to tell you it's very subtle because you don't, like somebody here said now about the music, we don't always acknowledge to ourselves that that's actually a secret desire that I'm harboring. I really want that guy from Prison Break. So now this other guy comes along, he's not the guy from Prison Break. So I'm not going to go for him because I'm secretly desiring. I don't like that guy anyway, by the way. I don't like tattoos. But I'm just saying, But I'm just saying that I know that there's expectations like that that are hindering us from actually seeing the good relationships that are already around us. Yeah, I want to start off with that. Okay, so there's different expectations that created by the world. I just want to say here some things that were mentioned by others. The popular cultures versus God's way must be very attractive, must make me happy. And here I want to just add a little bit. I tend to talk about this a lot because I think we live in a fast food culture where if something does not make me happy, I change it. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would buy a car, and I think that car is still there because he fixes it all the time. But we live in an era where I don't like my car anymore. It's 2 years old, so I want a new one. We change things all the time. I don't like my Facebook profile. I change it. I don't like you anymore as my friend because you said something that hurts me. I delete you. There's just this fast food culture that lacks a commitment. And in that, people are seeking something that's going to make me happy. And I want to say it straight. Getting married or finding that relationship is going to make you happy, but it's also going to be one of the places where you are going to cry most. Because it's one of the places where in that relationship, the stuff in you that you didn't even know you had gets highlighted. But you're in a safe place to work through it. Okay, but I'll get to that later. Just this expectation that a relationship or this person or this getting being a mother or whatever is going to make me happy. That lie is a lie that you should struck from your mind. He must be a good kisser. I say this because I know of people that said, I don't date that guy because he doesn't kiss well. And I'm thinking, but you know, you can practice that. If you like him enough, you can practice that. It's okay. But setting standards like that for being the standard that I'm going to choose my future husband on. Okay, I just want to show some of the silly stuff. He must have money or status or this or that. He does not need to do that. She must always be. And here I think I want to add a few things because I think, and guys, you can help me, but I know there's an image or there's an expectation that's created from guys that the woman will always look beautiful. She does not necessarily look like a supermodel when she wakes up at 5 o'clock after the baby was awake the whole night, but she's still your wife. So expectation of the supermodel with a skinny look and whatever, or she must always be kind, she must always be happy, and she must always want to cook, and she must always want to clean, oh, and she must always want to have sex. May all these expectations that's created in us that we must highlight because we must get rid of them. They stand in the way of having a relationship that God wants. Sorry, my nose is going. So let's look a little bit at God's way, okay? Now, like I said earlier, I'm not preaching tonight, so I'm not going to jump into the Bible. I'm going to refer to a few other sermons that maybe will, I really want to encourage you that as I refer to other people's sermons, go listen to them, okay? Because the pastors are really good at delving into the Word and describing these things very passionately. So I'm just going to talk from my heart tonight. And of course from Bible school. Okay, God's way. God definitely sets a very high and a very holy standard on relationships. Very high and very holy. We tend to look at it in a fast food culture. I talked about that. God has a very different standard on marriage. Now, he talks about covenant. Now, Philip preached about covenant a while back. I just didn't take the date of the sermon, but you can find it online. Philip preached on covenant, and there's also stuff in Bible school that really illustrates covenant. Now, I remember when I heard this message for the first time about covenant, it really shook my expectation in terms of marriage. Because I spoke to somebody who said, but if I'm not happy in my marriage, I can just leave and find somebody else. And I tried to explain to her, no, you can't. Covenant is a serious business. It's a serious business. It's not just leaving. It's not selling your bike. It's a covenant. For God, this is a serious business. So I want to talk a little bit about covenant. I don't think I've got it on my slides here. In the Bible, when the stories that I can tell you to go and read up on is the covenant that God made with Noah, the covenant that God made with Abraham, and then, of course, the covenant that God made with us through Jesus. Now, these things that I've got up there are all things that covenants have in common. Okay. When somebody made a covenant with somebody else, they would exchange robes. In those days, it literally meant, I give you my identity. So when people look at me, when they look at you, they see my clothes, so I give you my identity. They would give them the belts, which is the weapons, so they would give them their strength, their power. Offer a sacrifice. There was usually a sacrifice offered to God. When we talk about Jesus, it was Jesus himself that was the sacrifice. There's usually a flowing of blood. If we look about all the other covenants that I've mentioned now, there was a sacrifice where there was a flowing of blood that sealed the covenant. And the same with marriage. I'm not going to go into that, but there's definitely, it's part of the covenant. It's part of becoming one. Exchanging names, the people would exchange names, and it was an honor to take the name of the other person that I'm going into covenant with because it's a big deal. Okay. Reciting, there was always a reciting of this covenant, of the contract. What are we going into? And we recited. You know, it says aloud. Then there was always a memorial meal. And this was important. In those days, people wouldn't even eat with somebody if they don't agree with him. Because having a meal with somebody was personal. It was covenant. Part of this covenant ritual. Having a meal. And then there was always a memorial of some kind, a memorial ritual of to remember this covenant, and we've got rings. So there's different, I'm not going to analyze this too much today. I really want to refer to Philip's sermon where he talks about the covenant. But I want to just stop here and say that if we want to talk about God's expectation or God's way at looking at relationships, we need to know that this is where we are going. We are going to go into a covenant with somebody. And if God spares me and Philip to grow old together, then I want to grow old with him. Okay, this is not going to end. The covenant lasts until death do you part. That's the covenant. And the reason why I say this, and I'm going to keep saying this, is I think our modern society has lost perspective of covenant. People, we see broken relationships everywhere. Back in the day, my dad always talks about how if somebody studied to be a lawyer, he would be a lawyer for the rest of his life. Today, people change jobs every 2 years, every 5 years. We don't have that same kind of commitment to anything, really. And people do the same things with relationships. Now, one of the covenants can be a friendship, where a friend like Jonathan and David, where they were really friends that had a covenant. They exchanged robes and that stuff. They had a covenant where if somebody looked at David, they knew the king's son, Jonathan, was his friend. They had a covenant. They protected each other's back. It was a serious business. And even so, the next step is marriage. We've got a covenant with somebody that does not end. Okay, it's not a death certificate. I'm not trying to portray this as your life's going to end. I'm just trying to weigh on you to explain the weight that God's put on a covenant. Okay, so dating and wherever you are now is not a playing field. It's a place where you grow towards this thing. You want to grow towards a covenant with somebody. Okay, but now I'm going to get less serious because that can be very heavy and that can put a lot of expectation, again, on a relationship that does not need to be there when you're getting to know them. Okay, I want to say that again. When you get to know somebody and he's introduced himself or she's introduced herself, you're going for coffee, you're not going to tick the box for the covenant thing. Okay, you're going to check them out. Okay, I'll get to that later. God has a very specific order that he wants in relationships, and I'm really not going to get into that tonight, but there is an order where God says that the husband is the head of the house as Christ is the head of the church. And there's a reason for that, because in order things work, out of order things don't work. Okay, so I'm not going to go into that too much. I spoke about it at a different time, but but that's a whole sermon on its own. And then just things I want to refer to is there's a DVD or CD thing that's sold, I think, in the back. And it's got most of our previous sessions that we've done at Relationship Week on. And these two ones that I really, at this point, want to say, if you can listen to it, please do. The one is where I talk about what a girl wants. And I looked at godly men. What should a girl look for in a godly man? And Philip talked about what a guy wants. And he talked about girls in from a, oh, no, no, skim a card. I spoke about what a girl wants, he spoke about what a guy wants. And both of us looked at it from the biblical perspective to set your expectations right. So if you guys can listen to that, it fits in here really nicely to build a good expectation of what God sees as a godly character when you look for somebody. Okay. When we talk about expectations, I think it's good to set a healthy foundation. And one thing that I've mentioned earlier, and we spoke about this a lot now, is really sit still, get quiet, and identify to yourself what personal, worldly expectations are you placing on a relationship, and kick them out. Okay. Get serious with yourself and kick them out. Because that's not how God, why God is looking for that covenant thing, and we're going to talk about a little bit later more. But boot them out, okay? If you watch too many, and here I want to say it really, if you watch too many romantic comedies and it's getting into your head, stop. Guys, if you're busy with pornography or anything like that, stop. Stop introducing this stuff into your soul, into your heart, that's not godly. Okay. Go to God, my second point, because God wants to be your first friend and your first love. Nothing else that's going to come is going to replace that hole, that seeking thing. I've talked to many girls in counseling, and often we will talk about lots of other things, but then this thing comes in. That they feel that when they get married, their life would be complete. I would be understood. I will be loved. I will be protected. I will be cared for. Your husband is not going to do that. And if you expect that of him, he's going to fail you for the rest of your life. God is going to do that. Thank you. So you have to go to God. Meet him. And let him come into that place where you have this big desire to feel loved and to find out who you are, because he can give you the identity of who you really are that you don't have to seek in any other relationship. Then live a life loving God. And I'm going to jump back to this. And then somewhere in the story where you walk with God, a friend is going to come alongside you and you're going to carry on doing what you're already doing. Okay, just with a few extra things. Okay, so what, a step back, I'm talking now about going to God and living a life, but what do I actually mean with this? If I go a step back, I want to ask you, what do you believe is the purpose of your life? And here, if you've not read the book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, it's really a good book to just set your compass straight. Why? What on earth am I here for? Am I on earth to be a good occupational therapist? Am I on earth to be a good doctor? Am I on earth to be a good, to bring glory to God through being a doctor, or to bring glory to God through this? Yes, that's true. But we're on earth because God says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything that I have commanded you to do. We are here because we're going to go back to God. And we want to take as many people along with us as we can. Okay, marriage or a relationship is not the it. It's part of the journey, and it's part of the fun, and it's good to have somebody alongside you. It's good to not be alone. There's lots of other things I can say. But getting married or being in a relationship is not the it. Okay, the desire must be filled by God. But there's also a desire to get married, and that you give to God, and you carry on with your life. And this life that God is asking from us, to live for him, to talk about him, to glorify him, to tell people about him. Oh, I wanted to say this. Getting married or becoming a mother or being an occupational therapist or whatever is just a role I take on. But I am going to be Janeta that stands in front of God one day when the judgment day comes. And he's going to talk to me, Janeta. He's not going to talk to Philip's wife. I am me. Getting married does not change me in terms of me going to heaven or whatever. But you live your life with somebody. I've got this example in my head that when I have got lots of stories to tell you, but I'm not going to talk about me tonight. But in all of my healing process of going through things, the one image I saw was of this little boat trying to float. But there were so many holes in this little boat that it couldn't float. And this boat tried to climb on everybody else's boats, and it doesn't work. But when this boat met Jesus, he came and he fixed the boat, and the boat could go again. And then another boat came alongside, and the two of them went together. And that's really how, in terms of you becoming a whole person, the other one being a whole person, and going after God together, going after the purpose that God's given you individually and as a couple. Okay, but you can't have that expectation when you date somebody immediately. That grows. But what you can do now is you can make sure that my little boat is as healthy as it can be. Okay. So some expectations that I want to just highlight here. Manage some expectations is meet with God and face your issues. Sometimes we run away from things, and I teach about healing the brokenhearted at Bible school, and there's lots of ways that people ignore their pain. When you're in a relationship, it's going to come out. That's what the loved one, the people close to you, they push those buttons and it comes out. Face your issues. Fix your boat before you go into this thing. If people tell you, if your friends tell you, hey, I see this thing, then face it. Don't ignore your friends. Face the stuff before you get married. I always look at this in terms of computer games. Every level has got new challenges. Learn everything you can on this level where you are, because the next level is going to bring more. When you get married, Philip always says, you're going to have problems that you didn't even know exist. Okay. Face the problems. Then when you become, like for me now, I'm a mother of one child, then a mother of two children, then a mother of three children. Every level, if I want to put it like that, has got new challenges. Learn what you have to learn now that you can be stronger in the next one, because you don't lose it when you go to the next phase. The stuff you have as a single person is going to get into your marriage, going to get into your relationship, it's going to get into your raising your children. Face the stuff. Try to get rid of it, or at least know of it, that you can have open eyes with the things. But go to God. Face your issues. If need to, go for counseling. That's fine. Work through them. Let them go. There's no shame in that. Get your expectations right. We spoke about worldly expectations. Give your list to God. I believe in praying specific, and I prayed specific. I said to God, I want a tall guy, I want a skinny guy, I want a guy that wears glasses. And this very specific list, and I made this list actually when I was in high school, and I put it away. And then when I met Philip, when I was 28, when I met him, then look, this is the guy. I can't believe this is the guy. So make your list, but let it go. Don't go looking for that person. Give it to God. Carry on with your life. Okay. Don't look at that list every day and every tall guy that comes past. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. Next one. Oh. Don't do that. Carry on with your life. Okay. Don't wait. Go on with your life. I really want to say this because I think there are people who, while they are single, they believe their life will only start when they are married, or my life will only start when I'm in a relationship. That's not true. I had a very full life until I was 28, before I met Philip. We came alongside each other, now we're just going together. Didn't have thank you. But God had to sort me out, eh? Other stories. Your life doesn't start when you get married. Your life gets a different dimension, and there's definitely a different blessing that comes on it and different stuff. And for instance, where I am now, I am with my husband, so I do go with him. So some of my stuff changed. But before I met him, I was a very good occupational therapist. I did a lot of good stuff, but my life changed. So your life doesn't begin when you get married. Your life doesn't begin there. It just carries on a new dimension. Guard your heart, but enjoy your friends. And I say this because there's a lot of things that we see looking around. Some people, especially in church, are so scared to ask a girl out because what if she thinks I'm going to marry her? A coffee date is not a proposal. Okay. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your friends. And in your friends, find the friend. Okay, don't be so scared to kuier, to meet people. That's friends. It's a safe place. But guard your heart in there. Okay, guard your heart. It will also protect the friendship, because if this is not the one, then I still want his friendship afterward. So guard your heart, but enjoy your friends. Okay. Guys, be a man. Girls, don't be a man. What I mean with this. Sometimes I see this expectation, somebody mentioned it earlier, that there's this expectation from the world that when you get married, or when you find the wife, she's going to cook for you, she's going to clean, she's going to make sure you wake up, she's going to make sure your car's clean, make sure you've got your, you know, you've got a packed lunch. That's a mother. That's not a wife. Okay, grow up, guys. And I say this hard because girls want a man that is a man. Okay. A man that knows that I can be, even though you might not be able to live on your own yet and have certain worldly standards in terms of the big car, whatever, but in your character, learn from other guys that you can be a man that she can look up to. She does not want to be your mother. She does not want to nag you. She does not want to take that role. You've got that mother already. Okay. So guys, I think we've got a culture where I've seen that men, especially because of the feminine thing going on, the feminist getting into the role of being the boss. And I've seen this. Guys are gentle. Me? I hope I'm not exposing any guy here. They are very manly, but they are also gentle in this place. That if a girl steps into that place and she overpowers the guy, then he will, out of love for you, step back. But you are killing him as a guy. Okay. Girls, we have the choice to not be the man. To be that girl that steps back, that the man can be the man. He needs it, you need it. I'm not going to go biblical now. I'm just talking about what I see works as well. But this is scriptural. Guys, be the man. Girls, don't be the man. Okay. Last slide. Godly character, develop it in yourself. You can start now. You can have all this beautiful list of, I want him to be like that and like that and like that and like that. But then you just don't care about yourself. You can change you. You can't change him. And remember that when you're married as well, he's probably not going to change, but you are. Girls change many ways. Guys stay the same. He's probably not going to change. You're not going to get into the role of mother. He doesn't really want that of you. He wants a wife. Nay? He wants a friend, and you want a friend. But develop a godly character that you can be that person now before you meet him or her. Spend time with married couples. Choose them well. Choose these role models well. But spend time with married people. See a realistic expectation of the other side of a marriage that's working. Because when they fight, you will see they still talk to each other. They don't run into the bedroom. Okay, I'm just talking really ridiculous now. But there's a way that marriages work. And spend time with those people. Learn from them. Because that's real life. Set your expectations on what you see on those couples around you. And not the movies, not the soap operas, definitely not the books. Enjoy your time when you're single. Every level brings new challenges. I sometimes miss the days when I was single. Because when I was single, I could sit with God for 5 hours, play my guitar, sing songs, write poetry, whatever I felt like. Now I change nappies. And through the nappy change, I read scripture and I meditate while I'm changing another nappy. These different seasons, it's not going to change again. But enjoy your time when you are single with God. It's a special time. I remember the night before I got married, I was sitting in my room and I thought, this is the last time Janeta Smith is going to talk to God. Tomorrow I'm Janeta Bosoff. And that was such a big moment for me to realize that there is a big step that comes on the other side. Enjoy your singlehood with God. And let him do everything he can in you now, that you can be stronger when the next phase comes. And then I want to pray over, marry a friend. Just a little bit of advice. Don't marry for money. Don't marry for looks. Don't marry for anything. Marry a friend. Marry somebody that you laugh with. Marry somebody that you enjoy things with. Look for a friend. Don't look for the worldly standards. Because one day when you are old and the changes have happened, you want to still be able to laugh together, to go for a walk with your dog. You don't want the one to sit and say, "Well, I don't really like dogs." Having said that, Philip and I differ like day and night. So it's not a rule, but in that we are friends. Philip loves sport. I grew up in a house where my brothers loved sport, but don't get me on a field in the sun chasing a ball. It's not going to happen. But Philip loves it. I'm the music one. He's the sporty one. I'm the dog and the cat lover. He's the fish lover. So there's actually just the biltong lover. So there's a big difference in lots of things, the way we do things. But having said all of that, we are each other's friends. Find a friend and marry a friend. Okay. And then I want to pray over you guys as I close. A prayer that somebody prayed over me. At one stage, I remember, and I want to share this now. I remember I was going through a rebellious phase where I wanted to challenge a lot of my fears, and one of them were men. So I dated a lot of guys in that time. And I remember God showed me a vision of me standing in a place and guys literally standing in a queue, and I'm putting the rings on, choosing one. And he said to me, "Stop. Get out of this queue. Go work for me, and I will send him to you." And that image sticks to me. And there's a lot more that I'm not going to go into now, but later it made sense. But that image of standing and waiting for this perfect thing to start so that my life can start. Don't do it. Walk away from the wait. Ask God, "What should I do?" And start doing it. And in the process, the other one will come along with you. And that's the prayer I want to pray over you, that you will have that peace in your heart, like he or she is already there. You don't have to doubt whether God is God in your life. So I pray over you the peace that person, as if that person is already there next to you, that you don't have to doubt and worry and wait and keep your mind busy with all of this stuff. Ask God your purpose and start doing that. And then the other person will come alongside, or you will go alongside them, whatever the plan is. Okay, and with that, I close. Okay, I just want to pray. Father, I just pray a blessing, this blessing of peace over every person here tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will get to know you as that one love that must be in our hearts and fill our desires and our dreams. That you are the one that we need to get to know to shape our identities, to find who we are, and to find even what we're looking for. Father, I pray over them that they will trust you with that person. And they will hear your voice in terms of where you want them to serve and what you want them to do now. Father, I pray over them a peace in the wait, but that it will not just be a wait, that it will be an exciting place where they're going now. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Christu, do you want the mic? Dankie julle. Thank you very much.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.